Come here, Kirk. Grab a mic. What are we trying to do in this community to gather and along with other churches to bring some unity? Prayer? Youth?
All
go
right.
Ahead. Just your heart.
How long have we been working together? 23 years?
We've been here 22 years now.
And then before, at the other church, we were together some.
I've been here 35.
So, yeah. And so, just... You guys have seen some of my spiritual journey just in direct reference to this, to what Pastor's talking about. It's really easy in the Christian world, in any world, it doesn't matter if it's business or family or whatever, it's really easy for your view of the world to be about this big, isn't it? No one thinks that's true. Okay.
You can't see that far.
It's really easy to really feel like the experience that I have right here is really kind of about it. And something really happened in my life. A process started about 3 or 4 years ago, and kind of right around the time that we really started stretching and stepping out and growing and doing more things. One of the things, we listened to a church, Bethel, out in California, and one of the things that is really of high value of theirs is really affecting the community, partnering with different people, doing different things. And so some of the stuff really challenged me. And so I would have this idea like, yeah, we're kind of the ones that got it all together, and we've got, you know, all the right doctrine, and boy, we really know all this Jesus stuff, and someday people will believe like us. And whether you actually said that or not, Paul knows. Paul's part of this process where I've been. You've kind of seen a lot of this journey in me. We've had a lot of meetings. Just really, here's what Marty and I talk about this all the time. I would find myself at a Promise Keepers event or at Lifelight in Sioux Falls or at a worship conference or, you know, a Choir of the Fire in the cities. And I would find myself standing beside somebody. And maybe it's a 2 or 3 day thing. And I would watch as they're pouring their heart out to Jesus, as they're worshiping, you know, the one true King, and they're singing songs. And during the breaks, we would talk, and you know, their family got saved out of whatever, and he was in jail, and you know, gave his heart to Christ, and you know, was a drug dealer or whatever. You know, it doesn't matter the story, whatever the story was. All I'm saying is there was all this evidence of his life or her life or their lives being transformed. And now as a family, we go on mission trips and telling this big story of the evidence of God's presence in their life and the working of the Holy Spirit. And, so we'd have this, and I would just be like, God, you just, what a blessing. And this is a bunch of different experiences smashed together, but you know, in a kind of a general sense, we'd get to the end of the weekend, and I'd just be like, that was just so amazing. I'm glad I got to know so-and-so. And we'd be leaving, and he'd be like, yeah, I go to the Presbyterian church. And I'd be like, oh, or a Lutheran, or, you know. And just because of your mindset, I'd be like, boy, well, you need to get saved. Right? And I started going, wait a minute. And some of this stuff you don't really verbalize. It's more just it's more just kind of an internal thing. And so I'm really having to struggle with this. I'm going, all right. I mean, we're not talking about just any religion. I mean, we're talking about love Jesus, believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, have to have a personal experience, like the whole thing, believe in the Trinity, heaven and hell. All right. But then beyond that, boy, we would disagree about everything. But yet I know, from what you're telling, I know you've given your heart and life to Christ. I know that. So there was a really internal struggle, and I started just really walking through that. And I started reading the Bible, and I started seeing all of the things that the Bible puts in there. All of the things about unity, all of the things about loving one another, even the lists of sins. We get to the first five, but we leave the last seven off. The ones that talk about slander and dissensions and factions and backbiting and gossiping. And wait a minute. Well, why are all those in there? What does that have to do with what I'm picketing this week?
It's for the Presbyterians.
Right. Because for years, we've rallied around doctrine when God really intended us to rally around Jesus and relationships.
Yeah.
Amen? I know the minute you say that, there's going to be 15 people that raise their hand and say, doctrine's important. And we believe that. We believe doctrine is hugely important. Unless you're Paul, he hates doctrine. But but I started to believe that, man, there's things that are going to be peripheral. And there's things that you should believe that are different than what I believe. But we need to rally around Jesus, his work on the cross, what he did, that he died, that he rose again. You know, about a half a dozen things that are non-negotiable, we're not budging on. And from there on out, you don't have to look like me, act like me, smell like me, talk like me. Because if you all did, then it would really be a smelly place. You know, it just, amen, exactly. It just, it wouldn't have the fullness. Like, if we think, for instance, there's 33,000 denominations in the world. If we're going to rally around doctrine, there's 32,999 of them that got it wrong. That's uncomfortable. Amen? Nod your head. It's uncomfortable. If we're going to be honest about this conversation, this is something that I've walked through for a couple years, so I'm already on the other side of it. But it's an uncomfortable process to go through. And so what we started finding is as we start pursuing Jesus together, we started having lots of breakfasts and with different people that go to different churches and have different beliefs about this and that and the other thing. And but rallied around Jesus, rallied around Christ and his work, you know, not talking about that. But, you know, things like baptisms or the end times or, you know, fill in the blanks. There's 100 different things. There's a million reasons to disagree. So about last August, so a year ago, so a year and a half now, 18 months, 16 months, we started a group, Alan and I and Marnie and Shauna and I don't know, I think there's about 10 of us from different churches. Started a community youth group called Unite. And it's our heart to band together and to see the youth of this community know that there's other believers in Christ. And so we meet up at the Senior Citizen Center once a month. And it just, we're finding in at the school, April and Michelle, this will be our fifth year now, we do a community VBS. Many of you have been involved in. And we're really seeing God just breathe on these things. And the conversations that we're having is, if we don't figure out how to get together, there's going to be 50 churches of about 7 people in them that are just dwindling and dying, because God's heart is like, if you haven't noticed, it's different out there than it was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. If we don't figure this out, we're going to have a rough road ahead of us. Okay? That's not like a big, but that's what we've uncovered. If we don't figure out how to be the body of Christ, and that's really our heartbeat, and we have uncovered, not uncovered, they've always been there, but we've discovered all of these people in our community that have always been there, but we didn't know anything about them because we're not going to talk to you. And now we're seeing, now just lately, pastors are praying together. Pastors from different churches, anywhere from 5 to 9 of us, you know, so far, not usually all together at the same time, but usually 5 or 6 of us for sure, praying together every week to see God move in this community. There's been relationships built that could have never been built, never happened, had it not a few of us decided to step out beyond our boundaries and say, all right, this is uncomfortable, but you love Jesus and I love Jesus. So we're going to figure this out together because our community is declining. So until we figure out, like, so now we have fun with it. Now we know that we're, like, just in 3 seconds, we could find 50 things to argue about. Like, of course we can. You can do that in your own family, right? So how much more people that come from different heritages and backgrounds and different denominations, of course there's things. And you should be passionate about it. I'm not saying that I should believe differently and we need to come to some kind of agreement. That we don't. You come from this perspective, and I gain from you what you bring to the table, which is different than what I would bring to the table. And we're finding that we get all these different perspectives and views and ideas, and people see the world from a different gift and from a different perspective. God's joining hearts together. And I'm just so blessed and honored to be a part of what God's doing. Things are happening. We've been, our community youth group, we've never had anything like that before. Alan and I have been a couple different times over the years. You know, there's, you know, different times people have tried to get together. Just, it might work for a month or two, you know. It's hard to stay unified. And so we've decided that as rough as it is, we're keeping honor for one another and who they are in Christ as the center of things. I just had a pastor call who I've never really had a long conversation with, called me last week. Got on the phone, called me. He said, "Oh, I heard you called and had a question about such and such." I said, "Yep." So we solved that issue. He said, "Do you have a minute?" I said, "Yeah. I have a question." He said, "Actually, I've got about 15 or 20 questions." And he's very methodical, very businesslike. I said, "Shoot, go ahead. Tell, you know, I've got all the time you need." He said, "This youth thing that you do, how do you do that? How do you, you guys all disagree on all kinds of stuff." I'm like, "We certainly do." He's like, "How do you do that?" And so I got to just uncover how it all came about, and that I can honor you for who you are in Christ, and I can honor what you bring to the table, and it doesn't have to look like me. We're rallied around Christ and around who God is in you. And he was mesmerized. I've never seen anything like that. I can't even imagine how that can work. How do you not fight all the time? I said, "Well, we just know that we're not going to agree on everything. But we also know that Jesus paid a pretty big price so that we could be his church. And we think that's worth a lot. And we think it's worth sidestepping some of the other junk to really stand arms together for our community and for the people that need to know that Jesus loves them." So that's my story.
See to your pants, huh?
Yeah. Good thing I didn't prepare anything.
Hey, man, that's why I don't let you prepare. While you're laughing, let's look at some stuff. You can honor people who don't agree with anything you believe. And you may say, "Whoa, wait a minute. The part if they believe in Christ is okay." There are so many people that had a bad reaction from the church that'll probably never set a foot in a church. You can honor them outside the church and lead them to Christ.
That's true.
Through that honor. You see, we got a warped idea that everything somebody believes has to agree with what I believe. And if not, then I can't fellowship with you. You know, I read someplace sometime, and I just can't remember where it is, Kirk, that Jesus was a friend of sinners. But honestly, Jesus was a friend of sinners. How are you going to be their friends if you put them down? How are we ever going to lead them to a Christ who loves them if all they see is that we've separated? We have no respect. We have no honor.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good. Right. That's true.
As I was working on this, I didn't even have this verse in there, but it talks about how good it is for people to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil flowing down the beard of Aaron. You know what that tells me? There's an anointing in unity. There's an anointing in flowing together in this body. There's an anointing from God in unity. We don't need to attack other churches. We don't need to attack other evangelists, prophets, teachers, leaders. And years ago, months ago, I probably was. But what did it gain? What does it gain? What do I get out of it? Feeling good that I'm so much better than everybody else? Really? God never said that. All we are different from the world is we're forgiven.
Yes, that's right.
We're forgiven. I want to talk to you about this. I have a breakfast with a pastor of a certain denomination. You wouldn't think anything there. Do I agree with everything you believe? No. Does he agree with me? Are you kidding? But there's a bond forming where we can trust each other. There's things happening where he can share what he really feels. And when I wake up from falling on the floor, I visit with him. And when he wakes up after I knock him on the floor with some of the things I believe, we're still friends. It's amazing. Other pastors join us. But are we willing to lay down our opinions for unity? Have you ever thought there might be something you believe about God that's not true? Have you ever thought somebody is just as deep as us in the spiritual walk? Where we may not understand something. But when it comes to God's word, that's our basis for coming into unity with those who have responded to the word of God and the wooing of the Holy Spirit and accepted Christ. There's unity there. And the sad part of what we see is that Jesus said, they'll know that I came from the Father by your oneness. And that's what unity means, oneness. And why are there so many discrepancies about Jesus? Because every denomination have the things that their four cardinal doctrines, and this is what we believe, and we're going to believe that whether we're right or wrong. There are some issues that we don't compromise. And we'll share some with you in a moment. But there are some things we need to look at. Some things we need to come to a place of saying, is this going to separate me from every other believer? Is this going to bring an area of division because I'm not going to listen to what someone else believes on this? Your eschatology and my eschatology or study of the end times could be absolutely totally different. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Some people don't even believe in eschatology, but they believe in Jesus. Is that okay? Not one church in this town is going to take this city for Christ. Not one. But 10 might. Come on. We're not going to do it, friends. We need the body of Christ to rise up and stand in Christ Jesus and start claiming this isn't the dump of South Dakota. This is God's reigning place in South Dakota, and we're going to pass through it together, and we're going to walk through it together with a lot of people.
Amen.
That can be done.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 3, make every effort or endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Ephesians chapter 4, again, it talks about God has given pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the unity. Church leaders were never given by God to divide, but to bring in unity.
That's right.
Yeah. Nope, should say that again. That's good.
Okay, I will. The Bible says that he's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry or to train for the work of the ministry until we all come to the unity of the Spirit, of the faith. There are traditions that churches have we don't agree with. They probably don't agree with some of ours. There are things that people have taken from other books and put into their doctrines. But is that worth dividing over? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? The Word of God cannot be changed. We have no fear. Sin is not contagious. Somebody said stupidity was, but sin isn't. Sin is not contagious. How are we going to win the unbeliever if we don't talk to him? If we don't honor him? Look at me. You don't have to compromise your beliefs to be a friend of sinners. You don't have to compromise anything. You don't have to come to a place where I have to become like them. No, you want them to become like Jesus. We don't want to see them conform to what we are. We want to see them transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to see God take hold of their lives, radically change them. How many of you ever been sinners? How many of you ever sinned? Isn't it amazing Jesus didn't walk away from you? Isn't it amazing God still loves you? The Bible says while we were still sinners, Christ died. And so we come to a place in this church, this community, where we want to unite with all believers. There are some things that we don't have to discuss. Okay, let me ask you a question. What is the number one thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Christ died for our sins according to Scripture and rose according to the Scriptures. Basic. Jesus was sent for the Father from the Father because God so loved the world that he gave. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou will be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart belief is made unto righteousness. Basic, okay? We add some stuff to that from the Bible. But every single believer has to start with the basics. That gives us something in common. We have to start with the basics. It's nice if people go beyond and go deeper into the Word of God. There's so much there. I'm not denying that, okay? And I want more. But if somebody comes to me and say, I've accepted Christ and I know him as my personal Savior, do I look at him and say, well, you're not where I am, so I can't fellowship with you? I want fellowship. I want more people to rise up in this community and say, we believe in Christ. May not be politically correct, but who cares? We come to a place of locking arms with one another. 1,000 will put, or one will put 10,000 to flight, but two will put how many thousand? 10,000. There's power in unity. There's anointing in unity. There are things in unity we don't look at because at time we get so isolated and believing that somebody's going to challenge what I believe. And sometimes I need to be challenged what I believe. There's something that we don't change. There's something we don't compromise. There's something that's not touchable. And that is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is the center of our lives.
Amen.
We don't mess with what the Bible says about Jesus. We don't mess with what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and about the Father. But we want people to know what the Father says about them. We want to let people know that God's not against them. God is for them. We want to let people know that because God loves them so much, Jesus died. And if you're sitting here this morning and that's not part of your life, it needs to be. But even if you walk in here and say, well, I don't believe that, but I like the music. Come on. We're not going to throw you out. Surprise. We love you. If you come in here and say, I'm not going to change. I don't want anything to do with that. But man, there's something about that church I like. Come. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. Take the risk. Double dog dare you. Because the Spirit of God begins to work, you don't have a chance.
That's right.
It's really true. But it's amazing. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Chapter 4. We're not compromising Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. That's absolute truth. We're not dealing with that. We're not throwing anything out of the Bible, okay?
Amen.
We're not doing that. So don't be nervous that, okay, man, they're going to have a transition in that church, and all they're going to do is keep the book of John. We're not doing that. Chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that, okay? I believe you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? One person said amen. Two. Well, the rest of you voting on it? But Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means he was made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. We believe the next verse absolutely, radically, die for it. Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took notice that they've been with Jesus. That's what we want people to see. We've been with Jesus. There's a change in my life because I've been with Jesus. There's a change in your life because you've been with Jesus. Jesus will change anybody's life that he comes in contact with as long as they don't run from him.
That's right.
How many believe that?
Yeah.
He will. And there's no room for compromise. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse number 34. Acts 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Hey, look at me. God doesn't have favorites. You're all his favorite. How many of you ever had kids? Which one do you love the most? How come nobody's answering me? God loves all his kids equally. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And he loves the ones that aren't his kids yet. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word which you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hang on that verse. It could read how Jesus went about saving all who were oppressed by the devil. Or delivering all who were oppressed by the devil. Because God was with him. That's a testimony of our lives. For all of you. It's amazing how God uses people to fulfill his plan in people's lives. As you know, I had several days of working with a funeral this past week. And I thought somebody was going to be here this morning that needed healing. She called me yesterday. Said, "I'm coming tomorrow." But I'm just going about stuff. Working with another pastor, we had 4 services and 1 night with the family. And so I stopped and I just talked to her. I said, "I believe God really wants to heal you." She was in a motorcycle accident. I went down to Fargo and saw her in the hospital with another man. And just taking time to honor her changed something. Changes something. I believe there's something that has to stop in my life. We need to lift people up who are living in sin instead of putting them down further. We need to let this whole community know. You may be looked on as a failure, but you're not a failure in the eyes of God. there is hope. There's a God who can change your direction in a moment. In a moment. Sitting with those prisoners, and I know what many of them have done, you'd think, wow. But God says, what an opportunity for a miracle.
That's right, amen.
What an opportunity for a miracle.
That's right.
What an opportunity to change somebody's life. And I want you to know something. Every day you're amongst the people of this world, you have that same opportunity. And thank God for it. You know, we often think of having massive crusades, and that was my goal for a while. Let's have a massive crusade. Let's get everybody saved. You know how most people stay saved? One-on-one.
Yeah, that's true.
One-on-one. You invest your life in them, mm-hmm. and they'll invest their life in Jesus.
That's right.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But where are you at? Where do we stand? Everybody says wherever you can have people, you're going to have problems. It doesn't have to be that way.
That's right.
And I see somebody sitting over there. I thank God for you folks. All the time. I came in last night after dinner, or supper, I'm sorry. And just sat in here for a while. Just sat. And I was sitting, you know, you start thinking about Jesus and you start thinking about other things, and you don't want to just let your mind go, because I'd be having the Vikings winning the Super Bowl. But as I'm sitting there, there's all these thoughts. How blessed we are. How blessed I am. What a wonderful life. And we can all say, well, we have some issues. Really? There's not one you have that's bigger than God.
That's right, amen.
That's right.
There's people out there with all kinds of issues. They don't know God. They don't know God. And they need to know the one that can solve their problem.
Amen.
And help them get their feet on the solid rock that Kurt talked about. You've got him within you. What a beautiful life. What a beautiful life. Let's show people not a religious Jesus, but the real Jesus. Let's show people through our unity with one another and with other Christians a Jesus that gave his life so they could have that unity. Let's demonstrate Jesus wherever we go. Do we have it all together doctrinally? Probably not. But that's the ones people are having trouble with. The ones that do have it all together. We just need to walk this life out in Christ.